I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. Theologians and political scientists have been pondering this question since well before the September 11th attacks. How compatible are Islam and democracy? The answer would seem to be not very. Only a few of the 50-plus Muslim-majority countries are democratic. But that's not necessarily because of Islam. Turkish writer Mustafa Akyol makes the case for Islamic liberty in his new book. It's called Islam Without Extremes. Matthew Brunwasser caught up with the author in the neighborhood of Asmali Mesjid in Istanbul.
Mustafa Akyol and I meet on a Friday night during Ramadan, but here in Asmali Mesjid, you probably couldn't tell it's the holy month for Muslims worldwide.
If you turn right, there's a place.
In fact, it is a lot emptier than usual tonight, but not because of the holiday. Shortly before Ramadan, witnesses say municipal police brutally grabbed tables and chairs off the street, while customers were still eating and drinking at them. The controversy is only the latest in Turkey's perennial conflict between its Islamic faith and its secular government. Akyol says the restaurant owners accused the city of forcing Islamic morality on the public.
Some people say, well, they were not paying the rents, and you know, people could not walk on the street because there were too many chairs, and there was a pragmatic reason to do that. Others say, oh, this is an Islamic-minded municipality, so they're trying to minimize the space where you drink alcohol.
Akyol is a writer and columnist from an urban, educated, secular background. He considers himself a believer in keeping with Turkey's moderate Islamic tradition.
And I don't see that much of an, you know, Sharia-minded conspiracy there. I think it's more pragmatic.
After we find a quiet corner to sit in, Akyol makes his argument for his book, Islam Without Extremes, A Muslim Case for Liberty.
When September 11 happened, I mean, many people in the West looked at the Arab world and Muslim world in general, then they said, oh, there are hardly any democracies. So Islam must be producing non-democratic regimes. But there was a catch in this argument. Many of the dictators in the Muslim world are not Islamic. They're actually secular-minded.
A lot of Muslim extremists, he says, develop their tactics because of political oppression from secular dictators. To blame Islam for the Middle East political problems is like blaming Christianity for the attack by Norwegian gunman Anders Behring Breivik, who killed innocent civilians to achieve his political goal.
He acted in the name of the Western identity. So he was a terrorist who, in his own mind, was protecting Western identity against Islam. And I think Al-Qaeda, we have a similar picture. You have people who think they're protecting the Muslim identity against the West.
The sad irony of that act in Norway, Akyol says, is that there's currently a worldwide movement toward Islamic liberalism, and it's being led by Turkey, since the Islamic AK party won power 8 years ago, playing by the rules of the democratic game.
Turkey emerged as a very successful Muslim nation, successful in terms of economy, successful in terms of its diplomacy, its prestige in the world.
Turkey is now an example of a successful country by any standards, he says. It's a rising regional power with one of the world's fastest growing economies.
And that's why Turkey is becoming more interesting for the average Muslim in Cairo, in Tunis, in Bosnia, in everywhere.
But Turkey is also inspiring for religious reasons, he says. Islamic parties from Egypt and Tunisia are studying the governing AKP to understand how an Islamic party governs a secular state.
And I think in Turkey there's a silent Islamic reformation that's going on.
Akyol doesn't expect a Muslim Martin Luther to post a thesis on the door of a mosque, but rather a growing bottom-up demand for Muslim liberalism from society. Experts aren't convinced that there is a worldwide Islamic reformation, and if there was, whether it would come from Turkey. Gareth Jenkins is an analyst and author of the book Political Islam in Turkey, Running West, Heading East. He says it's unlikely that Turkish religious initiatives would find much traction outside the country.
Traditionally, Turkey has not produced any great Islamic theologians. I think the real change in terms of Islamic theology is either going to come from the Arab world or from Southern Asia.
But even without theological influence, Jenkins says that Turkey can enjoy respect across the Muslim world by being both pious and modern.
If Turkey is to serve a role for the Muslim world, it won't be in terms of reinterpreting Islam as a religion. It will be more in terms of how they live Islam in the modern world, and I think that's quite an important difference.
Back in Asmali Mesjid, Akyol says Turkey's growing middle class will be leading the changes. 10 years after 9/11, a globalized Turkish and world economy may help increase the spread of moderate Islam.
I think in a decade from now, we will have an even more modernized Turkish society, and a middle class which is very modern and also religious at the same time. And we are seeing the signs of that. Now, we are in Ramadan, and there are advertisements of mini-golf before the fast-breaking, you know, in Ramadan nights. So that's kind of middle-class culture that's coming up in Turkey.
The Muslim yuppie might well serve God by fasting during the day at Ramadan, and then enjoy a jazz performance at night.
So now that person is a person whom you can convince easier when you make the case for Islamic liberalism. And I think in Turkey, this social trend will continue as Turkey continues its economic success and its integration with the world in general.
At the same time, the tensions between Islam and secularism in Turkey don't appear to be going away anytime soon. Among the bar owners in Ismaili Mesjid, rumor has it the tables will be back in the streets after Ramadan. For The World, I'm Matthew Brunwasser, Istanbul.